Okay, David. So next section, we're going to go into our match day seven futile predictions. And they were a bit less futile than the week before, weren't they? We both did better last week than we did the week before. So match day four, I got seven, you got two in as far as points were concerned. And this week, I got 12 and you got seven. So we're improving.
We are.
Doesn't mean you should put any money on our predictions, that's for sure.
No, it doesn't.
Because they are futile for a reason.
They are, absolutely, yeah.
Did any results from last week sort of stand out as surprise ones for you, David? I've got one in mind.
Well, Norwich was a surprise in the sense that it was so emphatic, I think, but trying to think now, you've got me, you caught me on the hop.
I think off the back of my prediction, and probably our predictions really, we quite fancied Coventry, even though their form has been a bit patchy, to give Swansea a bit of a going over, and of course that didn't happen at all. Swansea got a very good away win.
Carried on as it was.
Yeah, now you've got to sort of look at Coventry and think, well, as we've said all season, great on the ball, but they just seem to struggle off the ball and just concede goals too easily. Bit of a strange one, really. I watched the Luton-Sheffield Wednesday game. Luton started off playing very short and playing out from the back, and Sheffield Wednesday had a really good press, started really well, did a great, great job, and were the better team for the majority of the game, to be honest with you. And it was Luton were fortunate to be at 0-0 going into half-time. Sheffield Wednesday scored, really nice volley from Barry Bannon, and that was it. You just you couldn't see Luton get back into it, but at half time Luton definitely went more direct, went longer and played to their strengths more, I felt their strengths were, and in the end they just made some changes to formation, personnel, and just overpowered Sheffield Wednesday in the end, who had a guy sent off. But it was an interesting game. Preston Blackburn was less interesting from the football point of view, but interesting the other stuff, really.
I watched the Stoke and Hull game. That was a good game. Mm-hmm. And I thought, Stoke were going to sort of turn the corner a bit here, but didn't happen.
Was there anything that you felt was different? Yeah, did they look good in patches?
Yeah.
Or?
Yeah, they did. Yeah, they started well. And then Hull just got into their swing. And I think maybe that's going to be a little springboard for them, actually.
Mm. Yeah.
And we thought both teams sort of needed to win this for different reasons, didn't we? Mm-hmm. There were some interesting games last week. But we're on to this week now, Tom. We can't hang around.
No, absolutely. No, we've got to get on with it. Moving world, this championship.
Well, yeah, absolutely. You can't dwell on it now. So, what we got first?
Yeah. So first fixture we've got is Plymouth v Luton. Go on, David. Let's hear from you first. Okay. What do you reckon?
So, there's two things I'm thinking about this. One of which is Plymouth really, really need Home Park to be a fortress in the cliched way. They need that, I think. If they need that, they even need that more than they needed it last year, I think. Mm-hmm. Because things haven't started too well. And it can be that, I think. It's, their fans are passionate and I think they like playing there. So they can make life very difficult and they need to. But I think Luton have found their feet and I've just got a horrible feeling for the Plymouth fans that they're not going to be able to hold on to them. I can see... I could see Luton winning this one 2-0. I just think they've found a little bit of form and I just think they're going to be a bit too wily and a bit too strong physically, perhaps for Plymouth. But it will be very uncomfortable for Plymouth if they can't make that. I mean, I think actually Plymouth did quite well at West Brom last week, in all fairness.
Yeah.
So just to hold them to one goal, but I can't see they're going to manage to overcome Luton. So I'm going to go Plymouth 0, Luton 2.
For me, it will depend on how Luton set up for the game because they set up with three at the back, and they were looking to play out from the back, you know, short from goal kicks and everything. And Sheffield Wednesday just pressed them. And Luton, honestly, they struggled to get possession in the middle third of the pitch for the first sort of 45 minutes of the game, let alone into the attacking third. They gave nothing from an attacking point of view at all. So I'm sort of sitting there making my notes of the game and saying, well, and we talked about it a bit last week where we said if a team is playing it short and you do a full court press, you know, really pressing high, there's nothing wrong with going over that press and trying to play a different way. And Luton seemed to be, we're not doing that. You know, they've got Adebayo up front, who's 6 foot plus, big, strong centre forward. And I think they hit him once long from the goalkeeper, but there was no one around him, so he was quite isolated. So, but when they changed that, the start of the second half, the ball went back from the centre circle. I think Chong just knocked it straight back to the goalkeeper. He took a touch, rolled it out of his feet and went bang, just knocked it up to the far corner of the 18-yard box where Adebayo was. And he had players around him, knocked it down and they regained possession. They lost possession again. It ended up getting back to the goalkeeper, who went long again. And it was like, ah, there's a change here. Mm. The manager has said, we can't do this anymore because we're getting nowhere. We just need to go more direct. And after the hour mark, he changed the personnel. We brought Morris on, who I was surprised. I thought he must have been injured to not be starting, but he seemed to be, you know, fighting fit, came on. They played the two up there, Adebayo and Morris, as two aerial threats, went direct quite often, 4-4-2, so two wingers higher up, and they could push higher with a bit more confidence now, because otherwise Sheffield Wednesday were just popping into the channels, you know, quite easily. And Smith, I think it was, the centre forward, was doing some really nice work in there, just sort of keeping the ball, keeping Luton penned in their own defensive third. But yeah, as soon as they went to 4-4-2 and went more direct, more physical, changed the game completely, and they looked a totally different side. And to me, that's what Luton's identity is. They're not a pretty team to watch, but they are a team that you can get behind as home fans. You know, they you know what you're going to get from. They're going to out muscle you, basically. It's going to be a really, as you said, uncomfortable experience playing against Luton. You don't really enjoy doing that. But Sheffield Wednesday in the first half, they were loving it because there was no physicality at all. They were just trying to, you know, play to their weaknesses, in my opinion. So it really does depend. If Luton turn up and try and pop it around and come away from their strengths, then I give Plymouth a really good chance at home of turning them over. If they turn up with a 4-4-2 with Adebayo and Morris up front, with Victor Moses actually looked very good when he came on as a substitute, and Doughty on the left, then I think it will be really, really tough. So I would assume that the manager would have picked up on that huge change in their quality or their attacking threat, and will go with a more 4-4-2 formation, or certainly play with two up front. And I think Luton will come away with a 2-1 win. But if they start differently and Plymouth can get a lead, then that might be enough for them to do it. But I'll go with a 2-1 Luton win, assuming that they're going to stick with the changes they made second half against Sheffield Wednesday.
Righto.
Long answer.
Yeah, well, we're more or less in line with it, except you've got that caveat in there. Well, I didn't see the game, so I wasn't as briefed really on that. But I agree, if Luton do what Luton, I'd imagine they would do, I think they're going to be too tough.
Yeah, I think so.
So next up, we've got Derby and Norwich. This is an intriguing one in a way, because Derby...
really is.
You know, Derby have started on fire at home, haven't they? They've won all three home games. And they're going to be getting about you. So we know that. Mm-hmm. But Norwich seem, maybe, it might be too soon to say it, but they seem like they may have hit... well, they certainly hit some form last week. Mm. And they looked unstoppable to me.
Yeah.
So I don't even think Sargent scored in the end, did he?
No, he didn't.
Our go-to goal scorer.
Yeah.
I think this might be the day that Derby lose their 100% record, and I just have a feeling that Norwich might have their shooting boots on for this one. And I don't know. I mean, my sort of head tells me it's a draw, but I'm going to go with Norwich. I'm going to go with Derby 1, Norwich 2 on this one.
Gotcha. I've bet against Derby. Well, not bet against them, but gone against Derby for the whole season. And they were my favourites to go down, which I've had a bit of pushback on from some Derby fans. So that's fine because Derby are doing great. So I'm not sure about Norwich still. I'm still to be convinced. They're very hot and cold, and it almost seems to be like a green light, red light team where they have a good performance, bad performance, good performance, bad performance. So I'm going to stick with the green light, red light. They had a not a great performance against Swansea away, good performance at home to Watford. So I'm going to pick Derby to surprise again and sneak another 1-0 win. I'm not sure if they've conceded at home yet, to be honest with you. I know they've beaten Cardiff at home. They beat Middlesbrough at home 1-0. I'm not sure if they won the other one 1 or 2-0 either. But anyway, yeah, I'm going to go with a 1-0 Derby win just to get the Derby fans off my back as well.
Yeah, well, you've bowed to their aggressive pandering responses. What do you make of Blackburn v QPR then? Have a little go at that one.
Ooh, I tell you what, the Preston-Blackburn game was hard to watch. There was literally no attacking threat there at all. The only attacking threat was Sam Greenwood on Lewis Baker's shins and Osmajic later in the game. But that was about as threatening as it got, to be honest with you. It wasn't a great game to watch from that respect. I was disappointed with Blackburn because Preston went down to 10 men on half time, but you wouldn't have known which team had 10 men second half at all. And it didn't level up in numbers until the last few minutes of normal time. It was a bit of a strange one. Maybe at home, it will be a different kettle of fish. You know, they've been very efficient from an attacking point of view, hadn't they? I think they 12 goals from an XG of 5, I think you said last week, didn't you? Which is outlandishly good. Yeah. So maybe they are due a little bit of a sort of revert to the norm, I suppose. I don't know. If we get that Blackburn, then I can see QPR turning them over or certainly getting a result. I think I'll go with a draw with this one. I think I'll go with a 1-1 draw because I quite like QPR. I think they're a solid team. I like they've got that good mix of physicality and Dembele as well. I think he's a good player. So yeah, I think I'll go with a 1-1 draw with this one.
Right. Well, I was going to go with a 1-1 draw, but I won't now. But I can't really pull these two apart.
It's
if I'm
really
honest.
Hard. Yeah.
Blackburn always sort of baffle me, really. Whenever you think you've got a bit of a handle on what they're doing, then they don't do it, or it doesn't work that way. So I don't know. I mean, I was thinking, well, I feel like QPR, I could see them getting a set piece goal in this one. Mm-hmm. So I don't want to go with a 0-0. But I just can't separate the two teams because of Blackburn's inability to overcome Preston with a man's advantage. Mm. That's put the mockers on them a bit for me for the time being, because I was beginning to think maybe they're, you know, going to do what they did a couple of seasons ago and just be right up there and we can't work out why. But I've got a feeling this is still going to end in stalemate. I'm going to have to go with a 2-2 on this. I think there'll be a goal. So because I can't go with 1-1, I'll have to go with 2-2.
Sounds good.
I'm going to go with a Desmond on this. Blackburn 2, QPR 2. Right, what we got next? Sheffield Wednesday, West Brom.
Yeah, last one of the early kickoffs on the Saturday. So I can only see one result for this, but then that makes it feel like a trap game, doesn't it, for the Championship?
That's the trouble.
Yeah, I mean, having watched a bit of Sheffield Wednesday, they were good against Luton. You know, they were good against Luton, but I think Luton really played into their hands. I think if West Brom can be a little bit more physical, it seemed when Barry Bannon went off on the hour, he went off with Smith, I think it was, and they bought Ugbo and I want to say Everson. I can't remember. It is Everson. Who's there? The Swedish guy they bought in for the centre midfield anyway. And you just wondered. I made a mental note. Well, I made a note and just said, I'm not sure how Sheffield Wednesday are going to get out now and have that attacking threat still. And whether it was Luton changing their formation that changed the game, or whether it was the more negative Sheffield Wednesday changes as well, because they seem to be just saying, right, we're just going to take the 1-0 that we've got now. But it sort of, they fell to bits a bit, I think. But they were better than I thought they were going to be. But I just think that West Brom are going to start how Luton finished. I think they'll be very organised. I think they'll be physically strong. They'll have that energy level there. I think they'll make Barry Bannon defend, which Luton didn't ask him to do that at all, because they didn't have enough of the ball and didn't progress well enough through the centre midfield. So I think it's going to be a... Can I see Sheffield Wednesday scoring? I'm not sure I can, you know. I think I'm going to go with a 1-0 West Brom win.
I'll take that.
Mm, yeah. 12:30 kickoffs, though. They're weird.
Yeah.
Weird, they are.
I can't get out of my mind the corresponding fixture last season.
Yes.
And I think I'm right in saying that West Brom had a really rough ride.
Had an absolute nightmare, didn't they?
And I've just got that feeling that Sheffield Wednesday, you've got that in them to turn that on again, that the crowd will be up for it. I mean, if you look at it on paper, you can't see Wednesday getting anything. I mean, they can't seem to get anything, even when they play okay.
Yeah.
You know, 1 point from the last 15 or something. And then, this is the Championship. Yeah. You know, it does look like a trap game to me. I just have a feeling that if they can reproduce what they managed to produce last season, and it wasn't any more or less likely last season, really.
No, true.
But they just had the measure of them. And I think if they can do that again, I think it's going to be a tough afternoon or morning. Because this is a morning game, is it?
It's 12:30. Yeah, 12:30.
Yeah. Afternoon, still.
Yeah, yeah, just about. do you know the thing that really hit me? I didn't see the whole game, the Sheffield Wednesday West Brom game, but from last season. But the difference I felt was in the ferocity and the energy of Sheffield Wednesday. They just seemed to be on a different pace setting to West Brom. They were pressing and pressing and pressing. And it felt like West Brom weren't able to deal with that. They didn't have the personnel to deal with that. And I think they probably have better now. I think certainly in the centre midfield, I think if you get Malumbi into a frenetic midfield game, I think he's going to love that.
Is he fit though? I don't know.
I'm not sure. But I really like Rakitić as well.
Yeah.
I really like Rakitić.
He's a very real strong.
He looks like an excellent player.
I just think that for all the sort of, you can make a case for anything really, can't you? Especially in this division.
Yeah, absolutely.
But I just have a feeling, you know, when you're going well, you are going to drop some points. You know, there are going to be games where things don't go your way. And I think that I can just see if it wasn't for the fact that Sheffield Wednesday haven't been able to get anything over the line, I just think this might be their day. I don't know why I say it really, but I am partly basing it on what I saw last year. And I get the change in personnel thing, but I just think they'll be perhaps buoyed by that a bit. And, you know, I'm going to have to go for a Wednesday. I think West Brom will score. I think it might be Wednesday, 2-1 Wednesday, this one.
Gotcha. Yeah, I mean, to be honest with you, they played really well last week against Luton. And they set up really well to counter them and did a great job. And I was surprised, pleasantly surprised, of how well they did for that first 45 minutes, certainly. I could see it. I thought Smith up front did an excellent job as that focal point, as that target man. And then he had Windass on the right side. And I can't remember the name of the guy on the left side. Whether he went off at half time, which was a surprise because he was playing quite well. But they bought on Gassama, I think it was, who is rapid, absolutely rapid. I think I'm pronouncing his name right. I apologise if I'm not. Should be a good game. Should be a good game,
should
that
be.
One.
Should be, yeah. So what we got next? Middlesbrough and Stoke. Who wants to go first on this?
It's a massive one, isn't it? Because you've got Middlesbrough coming off a defeat against Sunderland, which they'll be not happy with. And you've got Stoke, change their manager, coming off a defeat. You're going to think every time that Stoke don't win, more and more pressure is placed on the manager, the players, but probably even more so the guy who's put the manager in the position. Because there's quite a lot of backlash I've read, you know, in comments and on articles about John Walters and saying that they're not particularly happy with the way he's gone about things. But he will stand by his decision. And if the results vindicate it, then that's it. I mean, I remember when Mauricio Pochettino was brought in for Nigel Adkins at Southampton when he'd been doing quite well there. And I was dead against that. I thought that was a terrible decision. And it turned out to be probably the best decision the club have ever made. So, it's a tricky
didn't they
one.
Win? Didn't they win 4-0 or something before they changed it as well?
I think they did. Yeah, they had a great result.
I think they might have had a 4-0 win, and then they got rid of him. But anyway,
that's right. With this game, I think Middlesbrough are a strong side. I think they've got plenty of quality there, both defensively and attacking wise. And I think they're going to win this game 2-0 against Stoke.
I think Middlesbrough might put Stoke to the sword here.
Yeah.
I think Middlesbrough have got that sort of latent, you know, if things come off for them, because I think, again, some of their underlying numbers have been decent and they've had little periods where they've looked really strong, I think. Yeah. But they just haven't quite sort of managed to make it count. And Stoke, I don't know where they are. I was a bit disappointed with them, really, in the way that they took the lead and then just kind of allowed it to drift away from them. And I just think they've got, it looks like the confidence is low. It looks like that players are making unforced errors there. And if Middlesbrough being at home, if they get off to a decent start, they're not a team you want to be giving the ball away to.
No.
So I just think, and I'm looking at, you know, their lineup potentially and the players they've got. And I just think they're going to, we've said this before about somebody, but they're going to dish somebody a lesson at some point. And this could be it. So I'm going to go 3-0 on Middlesbrough this one.
Gotcha. So a 2-0 and a 3-0 to Middlesbrough.
So that'd be Stoke. Stoke should be delighted with that, by the way. Stoke, if you're a Stoke fan, Stoke you should be celebrating that.
Stoke 4-1 coming up.
So what we got now? Watford and Sunderland.
This could be the game of the weekend, I think. This could be a real good one. I really enjoy watching Watford, and I think my new favourite player in the league at the moment is Chakvetadze at Watford. We talked about in our previous episode, we talked about ball progressions and carrying the ball. And he is the king of carrying the ball. You know, he does it at such pace as well. I mean, he's running with the ball and he's running away from people who are trying to catch up with him. You know, he's that fast with the ball. He's as fast with it as he is without it. And Watford are very strong at home, but Sunderland a very strong side as well. The thing that will really be the thing to watch out for is Watford conceding an early goal, and they've done it almost every single game, and they did it again. You know, we mentioned it last week that they can't really afford to do that. They've got to try and get out their system, and they concede in the third minute again to Norwich. They did it the week before against Coventry. So if they concede an early goal against Sunderland, Sunderland are too good to let them back in the game. And I think that will be it, because Sunderland really seem to have this knack of being able to say, right, we've got our nose in front. You're not going to get through us now. You know, they barely concede any goals, and they've got that attacking threat that you really can't throw everything forward and not expect to get something coming back at you. So, I would expect Watford not to concede early, but the trend is continuing. So I think I'm going to go with a 2-1 Sunderland win. And I think they're going to score early because Watford have conceded early all the time.
That's what happens. Well, you're absolutely right. What that is Watford's main consideration at the moment, I think, is that stay in the game. Don't gift your opponent. And one or two of those early goals have just been ridiculous.
Yeah,
you know, they've just been daft. So that is an important one. I think there might be some goals in this. I can see both sides of this, because I can see you can't be surprised anybody backing Sunderland the way they're playing at the moment. But equally, I know that Watford have got a lot of quality, and that's the main concern from my point of view. I think I've got a feeling this is another Desmond, you know.
Yeah,
I can see this being a 2-2. And it would depend on, as you rightly say, I think, who scores first. Because if Sunderland score first, then they have got the ability probably to close the game down a bit.
Yeah.
But if Watford score first, then I think it could be sort of open season, because Sunderland will attack them.
Definitely. They've got the ability for sure.
Yeah, so it could even be, and I know this is a ridiculous thing to say because we haven't got a blooming clue about this. It could even be that Watford go 2-0 up and Sunderland come back and equalise to 2-2. Yeah. But I'm going to go 2-2 anyway, because partly I need the points to get back. So I've got to go out on a limb somehow that James is different.
You've
from
got
what
a zag where everyone else zigs.
Yeah, I think I have, yeah. So what we've got now, Leeds and Coventry. This has got a feel of a trap about it as well, isn't it?
Because it has.
You got to say, look, you know, you can't make a case for Coventry, really. Not on logic, you can't, can you? Because all the logic says, you know, Leeds are at home. Leeds have all that. They've had a little bit of a sort of rocky start on a couple of occasions, but they seem to be, you know, getting their act together now. Mm-hmm. They're the stronger of the two teams anyway, and Coventry have just had such a poor opener. Now I don't know what I'm going to say as I'm even speaking, to be honest with you. I can't see Coventry winning this, but I could, and I'm not going to, I can't go for another 2-2. I'm going to go for a 1-1 here, because I think I've just got a feeling again that Coventry are just going to be so sort of, I mean, if we're frustrated with them, you can imagine how they're feeling.
Yeah.
And sometimes with this sort of extra motivation, big crowd, sometimes it can sort of lift players, even the opponents, can't it? It's going to be a cauldron of an atmosphere in there. And it may be just, it will bring a little bit of something extra out of one or two of the Coventry players as well. And they need to get their season started. So, and I think Leeds have got that little slip up occasionally in them.
Yeah.
So I'm going to go 1-1 on this one.
Gotcha. Yeah, Coventry, probably one of the teams that I most enjoy watching because of their quality on the ball. And they're just brilliant. You know, I've seen, and they've been brilliant for like 30 minutes of a game. And then it just stops. it just falls to pieces. And I can't tell you why that is. And it's just bizarre. And they will pick up results, I'm sure, but I don't think it will be this week. I'm going to go with, I think there'll be lots of goals because Coventry are just shipping goals like there's no tomorrow. I'm going to go with the Leeds 4, Coventry 2.
Oh, well, that'd be a good one to watch if you're right.
I may even pick that one.
Well, that leads me on to one that, if you don't mind me saying, might not be quite such a good one to watch, which is Millwall and Preston.
Mm-hmm.
And I can, this has got the, all the makings of a real dog-eared affair about it.
Yeah.
You know,
have to chew Preston. This one over, won't we? And have a think about this one.
Yeah. I mean, it's, saying that, Millwall have actually got good numbers this season. Very good.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they've actually, they've come out of the traps pretty strong attacking wise. And, they haven't quite lived up to it, but it's, they've made a lot of chances. And of course, Watmore's on fire. So you can't really rule him out. And I think I had a little dip for him last week, but they didn't manage to, but they nearly did it at QPR. They went ahead with Watmore scoring, didn't they? But then they conceded almost immediately. But knowing Millwall, this is one where, you know, they've got it in them to just sort of flatter to deceive at home and, you know, not actually do what you think they're capable of doing. I've got a horrible feeling for them. They're going to go down in this one to a 2-1 Preston win. I think it's going to be 1-2, Millwall 1, Preston 2. But, that's what it looks like. That's the smell of it to me.
Mm. Well, from watching Preston last week, I thought they were marginally the better team against Blackburn for stages. I really liked Frochyar and Potts linked well down the right-hand side. I thought Reece played the number nine position really well and was willing runner into the channels. Bowler on the left-hand side. I've not really seen much of him before, but he looked good. He looked like the sort of guy who was trying to make things happen. And then you had the sending off, you know, Greenwood got sent off and that seemed to sort of stunt everything as you'd expect. But they looked solid, very, very well organised, dropped into a good 4-4-1 when they were defending against Blackburn, and Blackburn really struggled to create anything there. So yeah, it wouldn't surprise me to see this one end as a 0-0, because I think Preston are more than capable of being solid defensively in this game. Got some good players there. I was more impressed with Sunderland than I expected to be honest, and I was more impressed with Preston than I was with Blackburn. So I think even though Millwall have been scoring goals of late, I think this one could end up being a 0-0 draw. But both teams have got the potential to score for definite. But I'll go with a 0-0, unfortunately, for this one.
Right. Oh,
I'm still scarred from the last game.
Yeah, I was going to say, if I thought that was going to be the score, then definitely not be a destination I'd be heading to. So we've got Hull v Cardiff. I've watched a bit of Hull, and they're an intriguing team, you know. They haven't lived up to what they promised. You know, Tim Walter's come in on this sort of, well, you know, it's all going to be different now. It's going to be exciting. And it hasn't been, well, it's been exciting. I've enjoyed watching them, but it's definitely not been what he was hoping for results-wise. But they've got some talent in that team. And if he can, you know, I'm giving him the benefit of the doubt that he has got a vision that we haven't seen yet, but that he thinks he can achieve. And he's definitely got good players there. I mean, Miller has been fantastic, I think. I don't know whether he'll start, but he's one of those players that you just want to... He wants the ball all the time.
Yeah.
And he just goes forward with it and he just makes stuff happen. And I don't think he started in the last game. They brought him on. It was very different when he came on. And he was... So he's an exciting player. Bellumi on his day, I think he had a bit of a rough time against Sheffield United a couple of games ago when he gave the ball away from a corner and then it all went against them. Slater looks good on the front foot. Zambrano in the midfield looks good. I think they've got some good players there. So I fancy this is going to be their game, and I reckon it could be, I'm going to go 3-0 for this. I just think they're going to, if they get it if they get their act together. And let's be honest, you know, Cardiff without a manager, assuming they don't have a manager by then, it could be just one of them where they're feeling a bit sorry for themselves and, you know, they could get taken to task here.
How do you think Hull would deal with if Cardiff, because I would expect Cardiff to sort of sit pretty deep and just say, on you come. Do you think that's going to suit them, or do you think they're better having a team that comes onto them that they can try and pop the ball around?
No, I think they'll be. I don't think they'll be unhappy with that, really. I think they've got good ball players.
Yeah, they'll generally want possession, won't they? You'd expect them to boss possession.
They'll definitely be playing it out from the back. I mean, if you want to see a team that just will not compromise, then go and watch Hull, because they will pass it out.
Yeah.
Absolutely from the first whistle.
It's interesting because the only Cardiff game that I've watched this year was the South Wales derby, and Cardiff struggled to press Swansea early on when they had Kanga and Ramsey, and I keep forgetting the guy's name on the right side, on the right hand side. They struggled to press Swansea effectively because they just didn't seem to have that sort of urgency about them to get in there. So Swansea sort of popped it around quite nicely. Then they brought on Colwell and they brought Tanner on and they brought Robinson on as well. It was Robinson that used to be at West Brom, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was.
Yeah. Robinson, yes. Yeah. So, and they brought them on, you know, willing runners, just looking to get in behind and you know, get involved. And that changed the game completely then, put Swansea under a lot more pressure. So I think it will depend on what personnel I see them put out there. If they put the younger, more high-energy guys out there, I think they've maybe got more of a chance of sticking with Hull. But if not, then it might be a little bit like passing round cones at times. And they'll find it easy to beat that early press and get in behind them. So, yeah, I expect Hull to win this one, possibly 2-0, actually, because I can't see how Cardiff are going to score if they've got so little of the ball. See how they're going to create many chances. So I'll go with a whole 2-0 win.
Righto. So Oxford and Burnley. This has got...
Intriguing.
Some intrigue about it.
Yeah, it has. Oxford have been superb at home, haven't they? And Burnley are sort of getting back into a bit of form. Obviously, that really good away win to Leeds not long ago. I would expect Burnley to be too strong for Oxford. You know, just looking at the sheer sort of squad of players and the value of the players there. But obviously, we don't play on paper. So I'll go with a 2-1 Burnley win here. But I think these aren't necessarily the games that Oxford will be needing to pick up points from. The games that they'll need to be picking up points from are when they're playing the likes of Portsmouth, they're playing the Millwalls, Prestons, Stokes, Cardiffs, Sheffield Wednesdays, Derbies, all those sorts of teams. So I don't think it will be a disastrous one for them, but it'll be a tough ask for Burnley because, you know, they've been superb at home so far this season. So it wouldn't surprise me to see Oxford pick something up, but I expect Burnley to win this one 2-1.
Okay. You might have done Oxford a disservice there because I think that, where are they? About eighth or ninth?
Yeah, no, they are. Yeah.
So I'm only joking, really. You're right.
No, they're my sort of soft spot team this season. You know they are. I think they are for both of us. So, you know, I'm delighted to see them up there. I think they're doing fantastically well. And you know, we really like the way that they acquired players and recruited players, you know, in the off season to build a really strong, difficult, you know, hard-working team to beat. So, it's great to see them doing well.
Yeah, it is. And I think, again, they're another team that they've got to look at their home games, haven't they, and say, you know, if we can make life very difficult, and they can, you know, they're not going to relax and allow anybody any time and space. They're going to be, you know, they're going to be competitive, and this is in the home games are the ones where you can really make that count. Mm-hmm. So I've got a sneaking feeling they're going to get something out of this. And because I've got a feeling that Burnley have got a little bit of that sort of, not quite sure which Burnley you're going to get. If they're on their A game, then they should really brush most teams aside, shouldn't they?
Absolutely.
But you know, are they going to be? I mean, they've had a. It seems like they've started to turn things in the direction that you would have expected at the beginning of the season. Last two games they've won, but they've got, you know, they've got a couple of sort of slightly odd results under their belts as well. So I don't know whether it's partly because I wouldn't mind seeing them get something, but I've got a feeling Oxford might just nick a point here. So I'm going to go 1-1 on this one.
I would not be sorry to see that. That's for sure.
No, no. And nothing against Burnley because we know what quality they've got.
Yeah, but absolutely.
I just think anyone who's playing Oxford or, you know, this leads us on to the next one, of course. Portsmouth and Sheffield United. I mean, Portsmouth must be thinking, hang on a minute, are we ever going to get a team that isn't one of the absolute strongest teams in this division?
It's crazy.
I suppose the only thing you can say is it will get easier. It might not get much easier, but it should get a bit easier. But danger of sounding like a broken record, but they've got to be looking at these home games, I think, and saying, even though you would probably say Sheffield United, you know, it's a little bit of a free hit because they're going to be strong and they're not going to be fighting in the same league within a league as Portsmouth, probably in this division. But all points are points anyway, aren't they? But these home games are, you've got the crowd behind you. We know what it's like at Fratton Park. And if you can get the crowd up from the off, you know, it's not an easy place to go. I'm really struggling, having said all of that, to see Portsmouth doing the business against Sheffield United. I just think from what I've seen of Sheffield United, especially in the more recent appearances, I just think they seem to have really got their act together now. And they've just got so much quality. Raksaki on one wing, Harmer on the other.
Yeah.
You know, O'Hare in the hole there. Kiefer Moore, we've always talked about. He's been around the block, knows how to do what he needs to do. They're really going to hurt you if you give them any encouragement at all.
Mm.
And I think with Chris Wilder there, you know, he's seen it all. I just think they might have too much nous and too much quality in this one. I just can't, as much as I'd kind of like to see Portsmouth get something, I'm going, they might keep it to 1-0. I think it might go Portsmouth 0, Sheffield United 1.
Hmm.
Might do.
Yeah, no, I pretty much echo everything you said there, David. You know, Portsmouth have had it's got to be the toughest fixture start, isn't it, to any season that I can remember, for sure. I still think they've shown well, you know. I think Marlon Pack is probably the best at playing that long diagonal ball in behind, in between centre backs and full backs in the league. He knocks a beautiful ball left to right, right to left, doesn't matter. But Sheffield United, I agree with you. I think the last three performances, especially, they've looked quite ominous, actually. They've looked very, very solid, very workmanlike, very professional, and haven't really let the other team get a sniff back in the game at any point. So I'm going to go with a 2-0 win on this one, because as much as Portsmouth do cause some pressure on the goal, I don't think it's going to be enough. I think Sheffield United will deal with it quite easy, which is a shame, but I'm just looking forward to Portsmouth having a bit of a relatively easier run with the fixtures so that they can get some good results, because I still think they've got enough there to have a good run at staying up. I don't think they need to be panicking just yet.
I bet they're looking forward to that as well.
Absolutely.
So I think the last one we've got is Swansea v Bristol City.
Yeah, and this is the Sunday game, isn't it?
This is a Sunday game, yeah.
Yeah, okay.
I think what you've got here is they're looking like a really tight ship, Swansea, as a team. A bit, you know, they've always tended to be a team unit, haven't they? Rather than players that you could pick out individually and say, "Oh, he's a match winner, he's a match winner." They've tended to be that, and I think they've shown signs of it in the last couple of games of what they can do. And Bristol City, I don't know what you're going to get from them. Again, I like the look of the players. And I liked Armstrong. I like Scott Twine. I like the look of some of their attacking players particularly. Mm-hmm. But they haven't given you a lot of confidence. I think, again, they're another one of those teams that if they get it right on the day, they can definitely hurt you. But I've just got a feeling Swansea are growing into a team that know who they are and how mm-hmm. they can give the best version of themselves. And I just fancy that with them being at home as well, I don't see Bristol City being able to overcome them. I think this one could be 2-0 Swansea.
Yeah. I liked Swansea first half against Cardiff when I watched them. Thought they were really, really good. One particular player, like Grimes in the centre midfield, and playing in there with one of their new signings, Franco, I think Gonzalo Franco, was really nice sort of link-up play in there. Grimes was sort of dropping deep in between the centre-backs, you know, picking the ball up, popping it into midfield, and they were making some nice progressions through there. And I think it's Cullen is up front, and he just looks like a good player. You know, get him in front of goal and you don't think he's going to waste an opportunity there. So they've certainly got some ability there. I would say up against the teams who are going to be maybe a bit more physical with them, maybe the Luton Towns and the likes, they might struggle a little bit with that, which is why we did say in our caveat that they might quite enjoy playing against Coventry, because Coventry aren't going to give them that. They're going to give them time and space on the ball. But we felt that Coventry would actually outdo them with their quality. And of course, we were wrong, because it's the Championship. Mm. So, I can't see anything that would make me think Swansea aren't capable of winning this game. But I think I'm going to go with a 1-1 draw with this one.
Right. We'll see, Tom.
We certainly will.
We will. So I think that brings us to the end of the...
Does indeed, yeah.
Of our futile predictions for match day 7.
Does indeed. We'll see how we get on. Can we do even better this week than we did the weeks before? We'll see.
Well, but, we're in danger of having to change the title again if we do.
We are indeed.
Not so futile.
Our obvious predictions.
Yeah, guaranteed. Nailed on.
Fantastic. Okay, so that brings to the end our futile predictions and also episode 70. So thanks for joining us, and we'll see you next week. Bye-bye.